We are here. We are here.
We are here. We are here with a beer.
This is Scott Johnson from Starbase Studios.
And Michael King from Starship Valiant.
And you're listening to
Comic Pop Library.
Our entire space race of the 1960s was in response to an event.
If you breathe a word of what you've seen here, we'll do time for treason.
Everything humans know of our planet, we were told, had been shared. You lied to us. You've made a grave mistake.
They took over the planet.
You'll be fine. I promise.
It's over. I'm sorry, but it's over.
Optimus!
Your faith in us, but never in yourselves. From here, the fight will be your own.
To another episode of Comic Pop Movie Franchises, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Luis
and Logan. I'm used to going last on that.
Sure, that's all right. We go around the room.
All right.
Yes, as you can tell, we have a lighter crew with us tonight. It's just Luis, Logan, and I, but we're going to have fun anyway. In today's episode, we are going to be looking at Transformers Dark of the Moon. This is the third part of our Transformer franchise movie series, and we're going to let Luis take it away. So, Luis, it's yours.
Alrighty, Transformers Dark Side of the Moon. A mysterious event from Earth's past threatens to ignite the war so big that the Transformers alone would not be able to save the planet. Sam and the Autobots must fight against the darkness to defend our world from the Decepticons. All-consuming evil in a smash hit from the director Michael Bay and exclusive producer Steven Spielberg. And that's the back of the case.
I didn't realize Steven Spielberg was involved, but okay.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Maybe he was involved with the other two, and I just didn't ever realized it. That's all right. Dark of the Moon. How do you want to proceed? You want to just jump right in, or?
Yeah, I mean,
One of the things, I don't think we need to worry about box office stuff because it's an older show. So,
Spoilers will.
Spoilers. Who cares? If you haven't seen it by now, you're probably not going to.
That is the thing, you know. Once the movie gets old, you just don't want to watch it anymore.
Well, we're kind of
why?
And some people are like that. I mean, they pass and they're like, I don't want to watch it. I want to watch some new stuff.
With me, even with movies I enjoy, and Transformers is one of the ones I enjoy, but in Star Wars even, but I don't watch them hundreds of times or even tens of twenties of times. It's usually
once, maybe twice.
Right. Yeah. Star Wars, I might have in my lifespan watched maybe completely the actual New Hope, maybe six times fully. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, because there's too much other stuff to watch.
Exactly. And
while we had a DVD in the van, which was a number of years ago, I watched Blue Submarine number, was it 6 or 9? Can't remember.
Nine. Which. Blue Submarine 9.
And Wagons East probably a dozen times.
See, that's the thing. So I guess in Transformers Dark Side of the Moon, you know, Autobots learn that the I can never say their name.
Decepticons?
Is it? Learn of a Cybertronian spacecraft hidden on the moon. So a race against acceptance. So it's pretty much like see who can get to the moon and get the secrets.
Right.
That's what it describes it as.
They start off in JFK's time frame and, well, I guess they start off with it actually crashing into the moon.
Yeah, exactly. With
Cybertron's the planet that it came from. And
it's like a secret mission that NASA is going to the moon and nobody knows about. Well, they do, but then they cut off and then they show the rest where it's like,
we cut off feed for a bit so they can do their secret
mission. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, oh, we positioned those cameras on, was it Tranquility Base? I can't remember.
Something like that.
Whatever the crater was that the Mooner Lander landed on. And then they cut, and like Logan said, they pan out, and then right behind them over here, down a little bit, is all the wreckage. You're like, oh, okay.
Man, I thought that was pretty cool. Like, I wasn't expecting that. Like, I've seen this 3 times, and the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, it's just a number, like another kind of, moon landing was fake or whatever, and then they show right. that where, boom, they're actually exploring something that really did happen. And it makes you think, you know, even though I know I'm pretty sure this and it's not real, you know, but it makes you think, like, what if, like, when they first did go to the moon and they did find something, and the government is trying to keep it from us, you know, like something like that. And that's why true. that's what the Transformers, this movie, they're trying to show that, you know, that Decepticons is the bad guys, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they're the ones that crashed into the moon and
no,
it was Prime.
Oh, the Primes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
The Prime.
One of the older ones. Yeah.
It was the Prime before Optimus became Prime because he left the planet and Optimus became Prime in his absence. Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
So I can't remember what Prime. Oh, my gosh.
I have no clue.
God, what was his name?
I honestly don't ever remember the last movie's character's name either. I just remember them by descriptions. And I had its name then, but yeah.
I can't remember to say my life. I should have wrote notes, I guess. But he's played by Leonard Nimoy.
Was it Maximus? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Who does he play by?
Leonard Nimoy.
Does it have a cast sheet on there?
It does, but that's what I'm looking right now. It doesn't show everybody. It just shows the big names like Shia LaBeouf and Rose.
He's a really big character.
Yeah, but I mean, 5 pages. It's very limited unless you can find it.
And it doesn't have pictures of the people there.
Well, it does.
Wow.
Well, it has pictures of the actors, it looks like, but not of who they're playing as.
True.
Which, admittedly, for most of them, probably do look pretty similar. Or at least a portion of them.
I feel like sometimes whenever they make a Transformers movie, they try to portray, you know, whoever they're playing kind of similar with their, what is that word, characteristics. Like, you know, some of them are like I don't want to go too far. I don't know if it's in this one or in the 4 with the twins that separate. And then
that's the second one, isn't it?
I don't remember. I watched it the other day and I already...
It says here that he was, Leonard Nimoy was Galvatron.
See, that's a name I wouldn't have remembered.
Wait, really? Because Galvatron's the, what's his, oh, come on. Galvatron is Megatron's remake in the 4th film.
It possibly could be, I don't know.
Yeah, that's who Galvatron is.
Well, I'm just telling you what it says here. Let's see what this says, yeah. Wiki has it. Let me do the full cast and crew on IMDb, see what they say. Leonard, where are you? Wow. Where is that? There it is. Yeah, Galvatron.
Hmm. Okay.
That's the wrong name. I know that.
That's what IMDb has as well. It could still be the name for 4, but evidently it's the name for 3 as well. But it's kind of one of those, like Luis was saying, it was started on the moon, came back down, they hid stuff from everybody. We've been kind of backwards engineering a few things here and there. And then, of course, the new Transformers come and do all the stuff in the first two movies.
Mm-hmm, pretty much a recycled kind of thing.
All right. And then we know that everybody's kind of back, all the Transformers and all the main characters except for the gal, Megan Fox's character.
It's a new one.
I don't know who that would be either. She's
names aren't remembered well.
Carly was her name.
We remember roles.
Carly was her name of her character.
Yeah, this one's character, that's
she was Rosie
Angel, or was that just the nickname for her?
Well, her name was Carly, but her name was Rosie. Her real name was Rosie Huntington or something like that.
The new gal that
came his new girlfriend. It's like, I guess they broke up or something, and he has a new girlfriend.
Said he was dumped, which is believable. So. I'm sorry, but yeah, that's believable. Why would she stay with him anyway? I don't know.
In this one, he did manage to effectively solo a Transformer.
The thing is, you know, like with this movies, you know, since with Wiki, supposedly he's like a nerdy guy and like, you know, a dimwit, and he's getting all these model-looking girlfriends, you know. I guess it's just, you know, Michael Bay kind of showing off, or,
well,
I don't know.
Well, they show him, what is it, he gets some type of medal at the President's Honor. President's giving him a Medal of Honor. I don't know how that works with a civilian, but whatever. And this gal is at being an intern, I guess, at the White House.
Yeah, she's like, she works there, yeah.
But it's like, okay. And then all of a sudden, a year or two, I guess, passes, and they're living together, I guess, New York or Washington, D.C.
She's now working at...
She's working at a fancy car, rich boy's place.
Yeah.
And sounds like a British accent. I'm like, I was like, okay.
She could be British, or just the accent they put in. But she could be British. I mean, a lot of British actors have been coming along lately.
True. And
he panics over his parents coming to town, so he has to find a job.
Has to find that job.
Because he's been lazy, because she's been supporting him for how long they've been? A year or two, whatever.
And he has to actually go into the metal thing to get more than, what was it?
The metal thing.
Janitor was the one?
Oh, mail room?
Mail sorting?
Mail guy? Mail boy?
Yeah, because he went in like, with the suit, thinking he was going to get like something really good, and janitor.
You're in the mail room.
Pretty much.
And it's one of those where Bumblebee and all them, like I said, they're kind of out of the picture, out of his life to a degree. Yeah. He still has a little bit of communications
with
him,
but not
with much at all.
It's more showing off the new ones.
Yeah. And then somehow, how did Optimus Prime find out about up on the moon?
Wasn't that actually finding a thing? Or
no. I'm just completely blank. I'm drawing a blank. And we just watched it. And my gosh.
This movie from was too long.
In the...
Those little...
Was it in Chernobyl or something similar?
Chernobyl.
Where the worm thing attacked.
That's right. Mm. Chernobyl. Soundwave has those worms and they attacked them. That's right. It was at Chernobyl where they went and they found out there
was... Was there one of the command things there? Or
I think so. And somehow that led them to the moon. So the Transformers had to go to the moon itself and see what's happening. And they came back and he's all pissed and pouty.
You kept this from us.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
What you kind of heard in the trailer a little bit, that was the betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pull in Witwicky.
No, they don't, because...
I'm saying they pull Witwicky into the conversation by having higher up in one of the company he's working at actually is a narc for Soundwave.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the guy from Hangover, isn't it?
Oh,
I can't remember his name either.
His name was Deep Wang.
Yeah, that was his name in the show.
We don't care what
that's
his actual
cool name.
Well, that's his spy name.
True.
Jerry Wang is his real name. Well, no, actually, that's the actor's name. That's not his real name. Ken. I don't want to push it. Jeong, J-E-O-N-G.
I'm guessing that one's the real name and the other one's the...
Jerry Wang is the
character name.
That's what I meant to say.
And of course, he's an over-the-top character in almost all his movies, and he's over-the-top in this one, too.
Definitely.
And that's how he gives wiki information about all the stuff he's researched about the space program, what he's given to the Decepticons, and he starts marching to the government facility, say, I know what's going on. Yeah. And then they try to, all the government stuff, trying to block him out, so he goes off and does his own investigation.
Which actually gets somewhat useful, too.
True.
Yeah, it does.
They bring in the old spy again from the first two movies. I can't remember his name either. We're good at this, aren't we, everybody? We love these movies so much, we have no clue who the actors are.
But he's also, pretty much been in all of them, right? That detective.
Would it be conspiracy theorist on TV almost? Wrote a book.
Yeah.
Got kicked off a show.
Oh, they go to his house, wasn't it?
Yeah. They go to his house.
That's all. Yeah, they show him, he shows him the movie. Was it a documentary or?
I can't remember that part.
Because they go to his house and then like he's living at his mom's house. And then.
He's a rich guy.
No, yeah, that that's a might have one, been the second
yeah,
one.
Yeah, was you're thinking one? Of the second oh. one.
Yeah. Did you watch the wrong movie? Probably. That's the second time.
I probably did. I remember bits and pieces. I mean, I probably did watch the wrong one. It's like a little box set, and then I just grabbed one. I bet you who was watching it last probably put it in the wrong spot. Because I'm very neat with my stuff. You know, one goes with one, two, whatever. And I feel like whoever was watching it last literally didn't care and just throw it in the wrong spot. But all in all, I mean, it's a Michael Bay movie, so it's going to be pretty, explosions and... I mean, for me, I really enjoy the CG that goes into these movies because they're like, I've seen other movies where they try to put CG into the acting part.
Was
you can
it
tell.
And Lennox was the main evil human?
Gosh. Let me try this again, guys.
Or maybe the other way around?
But like I was saying, I feel like the CG on these are very, very good. Like you feel like you really are there with the Transformers or the, you know, anything. I mean, I really feel like they take their time. I mean, even though these movies get little low ratings and stuff, but like, I mean, their stuff is really, really good.
I'll probably have to eat crow here because I was actually on the wrong movie when they told me to click into the Transformers movie. It went to the animated movie from the, I think, 80s.
Oh, that's why we were.
So Leonard Nimoy was Sentinel Prime. So you were right, Logan. Galvatron wasn't it. He's Sentinel Prime. So that's my fault, I guess. I clicked on the wrong
Galvatron
button.
Galvatron was also used as a name in the 80s movie.
Well, it's because, they say a lot of these actors actually are reprising the role.
Reprising
the roles as the original actors back in the day, wasn't it?
Okay. Some of them
The majority of them.
Transformers.
If they can get them,
they don't have to show up on screen. They just have to use their voice.
Exactly.
I was trying to find the Bill O'Reilly's in it. That was kind of ridiculous, I thought, because that's where the agent was actually talking to him. So I was like, really, guys? You had to put him in there. And to me, sometimes that's kind of a little bit of a detriment.
Oh, yeah.
Because that dates your movie.
They generally have not presidents anyways? So,
well, the presidents,
not Bill O'Reilly.
I feel like whenever they show the president, they don't show him. It's just they do I don't know if it was the second one or the first one. They show it was Bush, but he was just laying on the bed when they were in the air. What was the plane they have? The Air Force One or what is it? What is the name of the plane that they?
Air Force One.
Yeah, well, you know how he's in it, They show what is that word they would call I guess they
use old footage and put and superimpose new footage over it
or when he was laying in the bed and they just show his feet or pretend it's actually him,
right?
And they make a somebody act his voice and saying it's him, but they really never show the president's face for real. They just I don't know what that word I'm trying to look for. I don't know. I'll try to see if I can find the word I'm trying to look for.
I don't recognize that as a thing at all, but yeah. And I do recognize that it's something that happens occasionally, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's also that not president solution, which you do one that might resemble someone, but yeah. Well, not one of the actual presidents.
When they're going back in time, I can understand that. But if you want to try to make your movie timeless, when Wiki was getting his medal... They had an actor stand in, if not actual footage from Obama doing something in the Oval Office.
And
that dates it.
cannot edit, yeah.
And that kind of hurts this show to me. I could be wrong, but...
A little bit.
And then one of my other favorite actors, and it's kind of a small role, but to me, I like it anyway. It was the agent's butler, kind of, or assistant, Dutch.
Yeah.
And played by Alan Tudyk. And I've loved him ever since Firefly and the TV series he was in the movie Serenity. Mm-hmm. And he has such a wide range. He can be a goofball. He can be serious. And Dutch is kind of like this German
shepherd.
German shepherd? No.
I'm not sure. Is that a good attack dog or not?
Yeah, it's a good attack dog.
And then he's also a hacker.
Not in this. Yeah, he did some hacking into it, but he's kind of like this uber mercenary type character. And he had this hairline trigger that when he was triggered off, he became this badass character where he would shoot you down, and they had to calm him down. Say, calm down, and they call.
Didn't he actually do that? Down boy or something similar?
I think so,
that's why,
yeah.
I did the German Shepherd thing.
Yeah, the German Shepherd. But I loved his character in it as well. And some of the stuff I noticed was... When they're doing these movies, the first one was kind of slapsticky, but it kind of has some serious tones to it. The second one almost had a little bit more slapsticky, but still had some serious tones to it. This movie was kind of split in half.
Yeah.
The first half to two-thirds of the movie was kind of almost too slapsticky, and then the last third or more got really serious. Yeah. And it's like, you know, Chicago got wasted.
Yeah.
Oh, they were showing people being disintegrated, and it's like, holy cow. So it's kind of like, this is what Transformers should be like. Make it serious, not try to infuse all this comedy in it.
Or keep it comedic and don't try to make it serious. One or the other.
One or the other, but to me, the movies are more realistic, and, you know, if the comedy comes natural, that's fine, but the Witwicky character, especially in this one, felt a little forced.
Yeah, like
he was getting tired of it, maybe. I don't know.
He felt like he was doing the same role again. Like, yeah. This one was probably, out of all four, was probably one of the best one for me. Kind of like you said, you know, it was in the beginning kind of slow, but then at the end it was just like... And I do agree with you where it should be more serious because it's the real realistic version of it. But, you know, they want to appeal to the older generation and at the same time with the kids. So the funny part is for the kids, and then the serious and the action is probably in the middle for, you know, so.
Oh, and the two little guys took down a huge ship.
True, the two little Transformers. I can't remember.
Though one of them
either
disappears after this movie, sadly.
True. And it's the military guys were pretty much reprised themselves. A few of them were missing, and a few of them were in different jobs and then came back. Mm-hmm. You know, Witwicky had to go save his girl. It's like, okay, whatever.
Traditional.
And then some of the stuff that these guys did going into Chicago, I'm like, really? Really? So they're in these, I think they're Ospreys, the planes that have the propellers that can rotate vertically.
I don't know what they're called.
I could be wrong, but I think I probably am wrong. But they fly in low under the radar, then they go up high, and of course they're spotted immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like how some of those guys didn't get hit by flying debris because they were jumping out when all these other planes around them were falling apart around them. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, I didn't like how they took the fight to the city. I mean
I would see him sneak, you know, like Witwicky did. You sneak in on the ground.
There were those that snuck in through the waterways or however.
Yeah, so the SEAL teams went through the waterways, which makes sense, too, because they're a little bit more undercover. Witwicky and that ad hoc team of veterans that kind of got out of the unit.
They went in.
And on the ground, and just we're like normal people, but
yeah,
the guys that are supposed to be the tough ones, they get slaughtered. And then the other scene was they were taking out some of the bigger Transformers, Decepticons, and they went up into this building and used their glider suits to or parachutes. They parachuted back down into the battle that was already taking place, and they really didn't do a whole lot going down until they got to the ground again and then started shooting up. And I was like,
they should have just stayed up.
Yeah.
I get that.
Better aim at the eyes than that.
I don't know. It's kind of.
That's why I'm saying they should have stayed up there, because if you're having to fire up, there's all that body to fire through.
Yeah. And we're talking about the waylaying. And the whole concept is we just jump to the end without explaining the middle. Sentinel Prime is actually cut a deal with Megatron. And saying, okay, you're getting, Megatron's like, okay, you guys are getting killed on Cybertron. You need to come to our side. So
would there be peace?
He's like, oh, I'm going to leave. And everybody thinks he's leaving to, I don't know, start over and help. And he's actually was coming to Earth to actually steal
materials,
or at least have these devices that will transport the different things or whatever it might be to Earth. And then we find out he has so many of them that the Decepticons have hidden away.
95.
They go around and
We knew they had that many because that was immediately stated. There's 100 of these things.
But he has enough that he can bring the planet of Cybertron through this wormhole type deal.
It's kind of like a teleporter kind of thing. Way they don't have to travel so far. It's just like, boop, it goes in. You're in the end of the galaxy. Oop, you're back here, you know, kind of thing.
Though apparently it doesn't actually transport it till it fully and finishes charged. Transporting whatever they're transporting. Because otherwise they would have been fairly screwed. But
And before they were trying to bring Cybertron in, on the moon, they set up a small transporter station, and I guess all these Decepticons over the years are part of the ship that he was in. All these robots are buried underneath the moon.
Kind of like under the crater.
Yeah, and they come out and they start being transported to the Earth, and that's who actually starts laying waste to Chicago, probably other places too, but mainly it's Chicago.
Yeah, technically. Sorry, Chicago. But movies like this, have you ever noticed, you know, they just focus
on. They were just hidden.
You know?
And the wyvern thing or dragon thing. The little one that had like 7 different transformations.
Yeah, that was kind of like the spy one.
That was pretty cool.
True.
You know, like movies like this, like they always focus on like one city they can attack and it's just there, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, I've seen in some movies where they show like just like one scene that's like 2 seconds. Yeah, they're attacking here or they're attacking there. But like the heroes just happen to be where the main thing is happening, you know. So
well, otherwise they wouldn't be the heroes, would they?
Yeah. It just makes me laugh. Like any movie like that, you just happen to be in that city. They decide they're gonna build that transporter or whatever. You know, they just happen to be there.
And considering they started in Washington D.C., actually, given that this was where the humans sect of the Decepticons, humans minions.
Yeah,
of
the they Decepticons had some. The rich boy place was one of the Decepticons.
She wasn't working in Washington D.C. because this was where he was. So that was where they were.
Chicago,
apparently.
No, she was in Chicago. They went there for some type of deal or another. I don't know why. Can't remember. But she, because he drove his car to the place where she worked.
Oh,
yeah, he did.
So she was in D.C. They. And for some reason, they chose Chicago to do all this stuff. And Logan, Logan mentioned, the rich boy.
That was his.
He was a Decepticon informant, I guess, or spy on the human side.
Yeah.
So
seemed to be fairly important, given they didn't kill him and they killed the rest of them.
Well, true. But to me, that's where my interest lies, the more the reality and let the humor come naturally. Because the two little Transformers, they kind of had a natural rhythm about them. Yeah. And it worked. But like I said, LaBeouf with his Witwicky character felt like it was rehashed. The parents weren't in it a whole lot.
No, I feel like,
the agent from Section 7, or formerly from Section 7, he was a little bit more serious this time.
He wasn't throwing us jokes like he usually does.
Dutch was, to me, a more interesting character than a lot of them. Just, I was like, do a movie on Dutch and let him go crazy.
Oh, that would be like a little backstory how he
how Dutch became Dutch.
Yeah. I mean, I would watch that.
And where he came from before he...
Really? But I still enjoyed it. I've had fun with Transformers. I've always had it.
Yeah, like I said.
The special effects, that's what it's all about, like you were saying, Luis.
Yeah, definitely. That's always the best part about these movies is how much they time they take with them. Even though, back then, it did feel like they were coming out every year, but, they take some time for the next movie to come out or whatever. Yeah. But, back then, it did feel like, oh, the next one's coming out already, but... I do feel like they do take their time on editing. I mean, that's one thing I like about, I don't know if it's Michael Bay who does, I'm pretty sure he's not really good at editing, but
the directors have a hand in it.
But you know what I mean? Actual special effects, but.
Oh, the effects, yeah, they computerized stuff. And yeah. Soundwave with his, I don't know if that was a separate robot that he controlled.
I think so.
It was part of him and it's just separated.
I feel like it was a separate one.
It had giant worms type things.
Yeah. I do like everything about it. I mean, the sound effects there, I mean, the sounds it make for the robots are really cool. I mean,
yeah, those have always been kind of cool. And I don't know if that's a carryover. They're not exactly the same from the animation.
No. But they're remixed.
More, yeah, a little bit more mechanical than what the cartoons were.
Exactly. They're more like a remixed version of the old ones. Because I was reading a thing a while back that how they said that how he took a lot of inspiration from the show to make his movies. And he used a lot of recycled stuff from it. But he made his own tweak. Or I think that's how you would say. He'll tweak his own thing.
Right, tweaked it, yep.
And there was an inventor robot in this one. Who gave Sam the hook shot and grenade that he used to effectively solo the one Transformer? But yeah,
that was that old guy. Was it the older one?
Old inventor guy.
I can't remember. Yeah. But yeah, he kind of helped
and
out
went this movie.
And then of course they had the Transformers are gone moment, and these big old robots sneak out of their rocket ship somehow.
Well, actually, that was the first engine that
releases is
actually
off.
Where they were staying.
But still, it's like, okay, these are robots, highly advanced, and they can't track that the Autobots are coming back in.
The agents in the other cities would have noticed them.
True. I don't know. A lot of these type of movies, you definitely have to do something.
Well, they did have the inventor. Maybe they got stealth.
Yeah, they got stealth. There you go. And that's part of the fun with these movies. You just kind of just go with the flow, and you just have fun. That's what these movies are about, is having fun. They're not here to be
It's a summer blockbuster where you just go watch it in the summer.
It's like we're talking about Soundwave with his worms, and they were in that building and they split the building in half. It's like all those people would be falling out those windows and being dead, and they were sliding down the windows and shooting, and
it's a PG-13 movie,
and some of them probably could have survived, but a lot of them probably would have been like the one guy that fell.
Yeah, definitely.
It wouldn't have been just one. It probably would have been quite a few.
Yeah, but you gotta keep it PG. Fun. So
yeah, it's fun. And sometimes what's that?
They were killing people, so that's not what.
Oh yeah, they were killing people. But to me, it's those type of deals, when you look at the superhero movies, you kind of expect that because they're superheroes. But when they're just regular people doing all this stuff, you're like, that's a little out there. But it's fun. Let's go.
Yeah, it's a movie. Come on. Anybody can do anything.
I've had fun. This is one, of course, like you said, Luis, conspiracy theorist type stuff is thrown in there for people that like the conspiracy theory things the space landing, or not space landing. Yeah, let's land on space. Yeah. The moon landing.
Well, you could land on space, but you just float around.
We do have a space station, don't we?
Now we do.
Would that be a space landing?
Yeah, I guess we could say that. True.
On space.
But remember, in the 60s, we didn't have that, though.
True.
When did we have Skylab? Was that in the late 70s, 80s?
I used to be a huge space nerd, and I loved reading about planets and outer space and astronomy and all this stuff, but then it's just it died off. But I still enjoy reading some about it, because anytime they make a space movie like this, I enjoy it. Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
Well, I think that's going to about wrap it up for us tonight. If you haven't seen it and you're a sci-fi fan, I can't believe you haven't seen it at least once. But if you haven't, check out your libraries. They're sure to have a copy, or they can get a copy in through interlibrary loan. These are old enough. You'll find them on the cheap bins. I mean, movies don't stay at regular price for very long anymore because they're getting ready for the new stuff coming out. So if you're a sci-fi buff, Transformers buff for sure. You guys have definitely watched it.
That's definitely one you can have in your collection if you want.
Now we have the first one, I think, but I haven't bought the other ones. But that's one of those where I'm like, ooh, I see this toy over here and this over here. And movies are kind of at the lower rung because I like the collectible stuff.
Yeah, I'm half and half. I'm more video game. Like, if I was to go, like, number one thing, it would be video games, collection stuff, and then movies. If I have enough money for all three, then I go all three. And then you can always go all three, too, if you get, like, a collector's item, you know, where it comes with, like... a little figure, and it comes with the movie.
Drew.
You win-win right there.
So that's going to do it for us. We've been having fun talking about Transformers Dark of the Moon. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us. And we will see you at the next showing. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.